This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll be having big fun on the bayou tomorrow, that's for sure, because it's National Gumbo Day. We've already started the debate here on the Newell Norman Show. I'm Dave Cohen. Newell will be back next week about which gumbo is the best. Is it chicken and andouille sausage? Is it seafood? Does it have okra? Does it not have okra? Is it with rice or with potato salad? Which hot sauce is best in your gumbo? Everyone seems to have an opinion when it comes to gumbo, and I like it, I love it, and I want some. More of it. Keep the text coming on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talkin' text line at 504-260-1870. Gumbo's about more than just fun and good eating. Louisiana Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser joins us on the live line. Lieutenant Governor, how you doing?
I'm doing great, my friend. Love the cold weather.
Oh, my goodness. We're almost into gumbo weather. I think Tuesday will be more gumbo weather, but you don't really need cool weather to eat gumbo, do you?
No, you don't, but this cool weather helps kick off a good pot for National Gumbo Day. It sure does.
And gumbo is more than just something that we love to eat, love to debate how to best prepare it. Gumbo and Creole and Cajun cooking, and it's all part of the brand that is Louisiana. And one thing we have seen during your tenure as Lieutenant Governor is a massive exporting of our brand across the country, around the globe. We want people to know that what is uniquely Louisiana, and gumbo is among that, is a great reason to either come here and experience it or do whatever it takes to experience it where you are. Either way, both are great for us as a state economically, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's a dish that bleeds Louisiana. The French, Spanish, West African, Acadian influence, so many different ways. You know, Louisiana sometimes is referred to as a big pot of gumbo. Just so many different cultures, the music, everything. And this year we promoted the Year of Music. We'll be in London for the Jazz Fest next month. But next year is our Year of Food, where we'll travel the world promoting all the great foods of Louisiana and get people hungry to come here. I just got back from a tourism trip in India. And, of course, we were talking about National Gumbo Day. And, of course, they're big vegetarians. So they were talking about okra and all the things they put in gumbo that aren't meat. But there's so many different ways to make it. Do you like your potato salad on the side in it? So it's a whole culture here. It's not just a meal. And it's a great way to promote Louisiana.
Now, I'll ask you, and I know that it's probably like choosing your favorite child, so it's really, you don't necessarily want to do it, but if you were ordering one cup, or, well, who orders a cup? One bowl of gumbo right now, what is in that gumbo? What is your current favorite gumbo?
It's got to be all the great Louisiana seafood. You know, we take for granted when we eat that seafood gumbo, how fresh and delicious the seafood is that we're able to get right here out of the Gulf, and it makes it extra special and extra good. We all know the fresh seafood makes it the best. So we have that ability, abundance of good fresh seafood right here in Louisiana, and it's something you can't get everywhere in the country, and we take it for granted sometimes. So I've got to go, you know, with seafood gumbo.
Are you putting okra in that gumbo?
Absolutely.
All right.
My mom used to put everything but the kitchen sink in there. Sometimes you couldn't even identify what it was, but it tasted good.
Yeah, I think we're finding from our listeners so far during the program that that's kind of the one line in the sand that some people draw, though. Some people absolutely have to have the okra in there, and others absolutely do not want the okra in there. So.
Well, you can go to nationalgumboday.com. And build your favorite gumbo. We invite people to go on that site, feed your soul, and we'll share that with you, with your site as well. It's it's a great opportunity. It's a great conversation piece. And, you know, is the roux dark? Is it light? There's so many different combinations to gumbo. And it's been around, you know, since 1806 when the first gumbo was talked about and made. So it's something that's been around through generations.
NationalGumboDay.com, and we'll find out which combinations prove to be the most popular and what people come up with. That's fascinating. I am absolutely jumping on that website after the program and taking a look and building my own gumbo. Honestly, my favorite gumbo is the one my wife makes. She makes the best gumbo in the world, so there is that. I'll talk more about that coming up. But it really is part of the brand of Louisiana and so valuable to us as a state because, you know, it's so uniquely Louisiana, the food, the Cajun, the Creole food. It's just stuff you don't find, at least in abundance elsewhere. I, for listeners who know me from my early morning show, know that I am a damn Yankee. And the difference between a Yankee and a damn Yankee is a Yankee comes to visit and goes home. A damn Yankee stays here and lives here. I'm in Louisiana now nearly 30 years, and it is 100% my home. But when I was growing up, and when I would first go back to Chicago to visit, you could not find a bottle of hot sauce or Tony Sachery's seasoning or really much of anything that screamed Louisiana in stores up there. Now, when I go up, I recently went to Chicago and made my entire extended family a huge pot of gumbo, and I was able to find everything I needed in stores there because the Louisiana brand, it has been so well promoted, and people have experienced it now to a point where they demand it everywhere they go.
You're absolutely right. You know, Tabasco, I used to bring cases of it to Houston to my customers because it was right there in Avery Island and around Louisiana, and to now it's all over the world. It's big in India because they love spicy food. So there's a little bit of Louisiana all over the world. And you're a smart man for saying your wife makes the best gumbo because that's the only way I get away with saying my mom makes better than my wife is because she's my mom and that old recipe. But, you know, today and this week, we have all the screens in Times Square stored up a big pot of gumbo, talking about National Gumbo Day and kicking off the year of food for Louisiana. And we're getting a lot of feedback from New York about seeing it up there on the screen with Louisianans that are there and people that have visited here that are touching us on social media saying it's making them hungry for Louisiana. So we're kicking it off this week to promote the Year of Food next year on a big way in New York today.
And just hearing about National Gumbo Day, I got to imagine we'll have some people be remembering that great gumbo they had last time they were in New Orleans or last time they were in Louisiana and going, sitting down and scheduling another trip to come visit us.
It really does. You know, Samantha Carroll, who's been with me all day, she's our executive director of the Seafood and Marketing Board. She's also a great chef and a restaurant owner. She just got back from Japan where she put on a big display of all of our favorite recipes and how we make certain things. And she says, you know, when you leave people with that on the tip of their tongue, they're hungry to come here to experience that. And that's why we're so blessed to have, you know, of course, the great musicians and music, but the great chefs and recipes and dishes that you can only find made here in Louisiana to lure people here to feed their soul.
And no matter how much Tabasco or Tony's or whatever else it is Louisiana you can buy elsewhere around the globe and across the country, it's not the same as sitting in an authentic New Orleans or Louisiana restaurant or sitting down with your friends or family in Louisiana and eating it here and getting that seafood that was just caught that morning or yesterday or whatever the case may be. It just tastes better here.
It really does, and like you talking about the seafood, it's that fresh ingredients, and it's something special that goes in it here in Louisiana. It's that love and passion people have for cooking up a good pot.
So while tomorrow is National Gumbo Day, and you can go on the website nationalgumboday.com and create your favorite gumbo, as you've been saying a few times now, next year is the year of food to promote Louisiana. And obviously that includes far more than just gumbo. Tell us what the year of food is going to look like in terms of how you're going to promote our cuisine across the country and around the world.
So we'll be taking our great chefs to all the food events all over the country and all over the world. And, of course, just like the Music Fest where we promote music, people go to those events. They love to eat. They love to create dishes. So when we bring those chefs and they cook up their special dishes and share it with them, it gets them excited about coming here. And we do far better doing those things than just running an ad. We'll also be sharing recipes and cooking videos around the country and around the world through social media and telling them where they can get all these unique dishes, from a muffalata to jambalaya to all the great dishes only here in Louisiana, and lure them to our website to get excited about coming here. The music and the food are our two great assets that we have, plus the 400 fairs and festivals that cook that unique food and music that gives us great tools in our toolbox that other states would love to have to promote their state.
How is tourism doing? We talked to Dr. Lauren Scott last hour about the fact that the convention business still has not recovered from the pandemic. The companies aren't holding as many conventions, as many people are not attending conventions, and that's been a strain on the convention side of the tourism economy. That aside, overall, how is tourism for the state of Louisiana and for Greater New Orleans doing since the pandemic?
Yeah, we had five record-breaking years leading up to COVID. In 2019, over 53 million people visited Little Louisiana, left behind $1.9 billion in taxes that you and I didn't have to pay. That's over $1,100 per Louisiana family. Last year, we were a little over 44 million, not quite back to that record number. I think we're going to break a record this year. And what we've done is, but promoting Mardi Gras all over the state, not just New Orleans. Not everybody can afford New Orleans or wants to bring their kids in the French Quarter. So we've brought visitors from all over the world to Mardi Gras in Shreveport, Morgan City, Lafayette. We also have been promoting road trips because of the airline hiccups. We've been getting more drive. We also promote sports tourism, not just the big Super Bowls, but Olympic trials. We had volleyball in Shreveport, Dizzy Dean World Series in Ruston. So we've been plugging these small sporting events all over the state. And then I've been reaching out. I just took over as president of the Aerospace States Association. I know nothing about space, but I told them I would take over from the Colorado Lieutenant Governor only if they moved the conference to New Orleans. We had it here a few months ago. So we're encouraged. I'm working on the Lieutenant Governor's Conference to come back here. We're reaching out to these groups to help fill those gaps in New Orleans, to bring those small conferences here. We offer free seafood. If you bring your event here, we'll pick up the tab the first night and have a seafood cookout to save you some money. Bring that event to New Orleans, bring it to Louisiana. And so I think it's just doing a lot of work and getting back to getting all those conventions back. And we got a $300,000 a year grant for the next 3 years to go to three new international markets from the federal government, because they're putting up money to bring more international visitors to America. And we've had such success at the international market, they wanted us to reach the three new markets. And that was Italy, Spain, and I just got back from India. So we're going to be opening our doors to three new international markets that will be huge for Louisiana, because they stay longer, they spend more money, and they don't just see one city. They want to get off the beaten path and see how we live. They go to other small cities and towns all over Louisiana.
So the future is bright, and of course that Super Bowl early next year is definitely going to help. You think next year we get back to that record-breaking level of tourism here in Louisiana. Wouldn't that be great? Before I let you run, I do want to talk just briefly a little politics and get your thoughts on the proposed changes to the Louisiana tax code and the tax breaks and incentives that may be lifted depending on what the legislature tries to do with the governor's suggestions. Specifically, when we talk about the sales tax, there could be sales tax placed on services provided in Louisiana under this plan. That would include musicians, entertainers, and others who don't currently have to charge their client sales tax. How would that influence what you do and the tourism here, along with the discussion of getting rid of tax credits, including the film tax credits?
Yeah, I'm very concerned. And before we cut off our nose and spite our face, we need to look at the impact to the state. You know, I've been pushing for it, and my father and Dave Treen tried to pass the quail tax. And I don't call it a tax. I call it a fee. But a small fee on processed fuels, 90% of it leaves the state. And I think it would have brought in $40 billion. Today with the LNG exports, we probably would see more money than we could spend. We could get rid of income tax, pay our teachers and our police $100,000 a year. What else do we need? And because John Bell gave local government the authority to take away that 10-year exemption on the land, and the local governments are doing it, ConocoPhillips shut down, Plaquemines took that, we could give them the land free forever. Let us put a fee for using our roads, bridges, in the air, in the river, on what you're producing here for the rest of the country. Now, we couldn't exempt Louisiana residents, but I believe, I'm not a lawyer, but I believe we could do like Alaska, and every Louisiana resident would get a rebate check back. Talk about people move back to Louisiana then, but it's time to, and I made my living in the oil and gas, but this is a fair fee that would solve all our financial problems and allow us to do some things, much-needed things, in Louisiana, and I hope the legislators will look at something like that before we look at severe cuts or things that would have a negative impact on tourism, which was the fourth biggest industry before COVID. And as I mentioned, the tax dollars, it's good, clean, fun, and it's a great tax resource. And we better make sure whatever we do does not damage that industry as we come back after COVID.
So will you be lobbying the legislature during the special session to look at those kinds of fees or taxes versus getting rid of the film tax credits or requiring folks providing services in Louisiana to start charging sales tax and potentially hurting their bottom line?
Yes, I'm actually meeting with the governor's team next week, and I've been giving this white sheet out on this proposal that was proposed by Governor Dave Treen. And it was the largest lobbying effort in the history of Louisiana. When he did the press conference, they hired every lobbyist to kill it. And I've been giving it to teachers, sheriffs, everybody for about a year now. We ought to consider this or something like this that's a fair use tax fee. I don't call it a tax. That could really make a difference for our future for generations to come.
Louisiana Lieutenant Governor.
I will be talking. So
go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I will be talking it up, and hopefully we can get them to consider it.
All right. Well, we appreciate your joining us here today on the Newell Norman Show, and you have a fantastic National Gumbo Day tomorrow. There's no reason not to celebrate it to its fullest, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Louisiana Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser here on WWL. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. Coming up, I want more of your calls and texts at 504-260-1870 ahead of National Gumbo Day. How do you make the perfect gumbo? Go to nationalgumboday.com and play with that creator, but also text us and call us and tell us how your gumbo should be built. And we'll also get the commissioner of the Louisiana Office of Motor Vehicles in here next. Are you finally going to absolutely have to get a real ID or not? We've been talking about it, it feels like, a decade now.